Inspector Erlander woke at 7 on Saturday morning to the ringing of his phone. He heard voices from the TV and smelled coffee from the kitchen, where his wife was already doing her morning chores. He had returned to his apartment in Mölndal at 1 in the morning, having been on duty for 22 hours, so he was far from wide awake when he reached to answer it.
"Rickardson, night shift, are you awake?"
"No,"
Erlander said. "What's happened?"
"News. Anita Kaspersen has been found."
"Where?"
"Outside Seglora, south of Borås."
Erlander visualized the map in his head.
"South," he said. "He's taken the back roads. He must have driven up the 180 through Borås and swung south. Have we alerted Malmö?"
"Yes, and Helsingborg, Landskrona and Trelleborg. And Karlskrona. I'm thinking of the ferry to the east."
Erlander rubbed the back of his neck.
"He has almost a 24-hour head start now. He could be clean out of the country. How is Kaspersen found?"
"She turned up at a house on the outskirts of Seglora."
"She what?"
"She knocked."
"You mean she's alive?"
"I'm sorry, I'm not expressing myself clearly. The Kaspersen woman kicked on the door of a house at 3:10 this morning, scaring the hell out of a couple and their kids who were all asleep. She was barefoot and suffering from severe hypothermia. Her hands were tied behind her back. She's at the hospital in Borås, reunited with her husband."
"Amazing. I think we all assumed she was dead."
"Sometimes you can be surprised. But here's the bad news. Assistant County Police Chief Spongberg has been here since 5 this morning. She's made it plain that she wants you to rush over to Borås to interview the woman."
It was Saturday morning, and Blomqvist assumed that the Millennium offices would be empty. He called Malm as the train was coming into Stockholm and asked him what had prompted the tone of his text message.
"Have you had breakfast?" Malm said.
"On the train."
"Okay. Come over to my place and I'll make you something more substantial."
"What's this about?"
"I'll tell you when you get here."
Blomqvist took the Tunnelbana to Medborgarplatsen and walked to Allhelgonagatan. Malm's boyfriend, Arnold Magnusson, opened the door to him. No matter how hard Blomqvist tried, he could never rid himself of the feeling that he was looking at an advertisement for something. Magnusson was often on stage at the Dramaten and was one of Sweden's most popular actors. It was always a shock to meet him in person. Blomqvist was not ordinarily impressed by celebrity, but Magnusson had such a distinctive appearance and was so familiar from his roles, in particular for playing the irascible but honest Inspector Frisk in a wildly popular TV series. Blomqvist always expected him to behave just like Gunnar Frisk.
"Hello, Mika,"
Magnusson said.
"Hello,"
Blomqvist said.
"In the kitchen."
Malm was serving up freshly made waffles with cloudberry jam and coffee. Blomqvist's appetite was revived even before he sat down. Malm wanted to know what had happened in Gossaberga. Blomqvist gave him a succinct account. He was into his third waffle before he remembered to ask what was going on.
"We had a little problem at Millennium while you were away Blomqvisting in Göteborg."
Blomqvist looked at Malm intently.
"What was that?"
"Oh, nothing serious. Erika has taken the job of editor-in-chief at Svenska Morgenposten. She finished at Millennium yesterday."
It was several seconds before Blomqvist could absorb the whole impact of the news. He sat there stunned, but did not doubt the truth of it.
"Why didn't she tell anyone before?" he said at last. "Because she wanted to tell you first, and you've been running around being unreachable, and because she probably thought you had your hands full with a Salander story. Then she found herself with an unbearably guilty conscience and was feeling terrible. And not one of us had noticed a thing."
Blomqvist shut his eyes.
"God damn it," he said.
"I know. Now it turns out that you're the last one in the office to find out. I wanted to have the chance to tell you myself so that you'd understand what happened and not think anyone was doing anything behind your back."
"No, I don't think that. But Jesus, it's wonderful that she got the job. If she wants to work at SMP... But what the hell are we going to do?"
"Malin's going to be acting editor-in-chief, starting with the next issue."
"Ericsson?"
"Unless you want to be editor-in-chief."
"Good God, no!"
"That's what I thought. Have you appointed a managing editor?" "Henry. He's been with us 4 years, hardly an apprentice any longer."
"Do I have a say in this?"
"No,"
Malm said.
Blomqvist gave a dry laugh.
"Right. Well, you'll let it stand the way you've decided. Malin is tough, but she's unsure of herself. Henry shoots from the hip a little too often. We'll have to keep an eye on both of them."
"Yes, we will."
Blomqvist sat in silence, cradling his coffee. It would be damned empty without Berger, and he wasn't sure how things would turn out at the magazine. I have to call Erica and...
No, better not.
What do you mean?
She's sleeping at the office. Go and wake her up or something.
Blomqvist found Berger sound asleep on the sofa bed in her office. She'd been up until all hours emptying her desk and bookshelves of all personal belongings and sorting papers that she wanted to keep. She had filled 5 large boxes. He looked at her for a while from the doorway, before he went in and sat down on the edge of the sofa and woke her.
"Why in heaven's name don't you go over to my place and sleep if you have to sleep on the job?" he said.
"Hi, Michael," she said.
"Krista told me."
She started to say something, but he bent down and kissed her on the cheek.
"Are you livid?"
"Insanely," he said.
"I'm sorry. I couldn't turn it down. But it feels wrong to leave all of you in the lurch in such a bad situation."
"I'm hardly the person to criticise you for abandoning ship. I left you in the lurch in a situation much worse than this."
"The two have nothing to do with each other. You took a break. I'm leaving for good and I didn't tell anybody. I'm so sorry."
Blomqvist gave her a wan smile.
"When it's time, it's time." Then he added in English, "A woman's got to do what a woman's got to do," and all that crap.
Berger smiled. Those were the words she had said to him when he moved to Hedeby. He reached out his hand and mussed her hair affectionately.
"I can understand why you'd want to quit this madhouse, but to be the head of Sweden's most turgid old boy newspaper, that's going to take some time to sink in."
"There are quite a few women working there nowadays."
"Bullshit. Check the masthead. It's status quo all the way. You must be a raving masochist. Shall we go and have some coffee?"
Berger sat up.
"I have to know what happened in Göteborg."
"I'm writing the story now," Blomqvist said, "and there's going to be war when we publish it. We'll put it out at the same time as the trial. I hope you're not thinking of taking the story with you to SMP. The fact is, I need you to write something on the Zalichenko story before you leave here."
"Mika, I..."
"Your very last editorial. Write it whenever you like. It almost certainly won't be published before the trial, whenever that might be."
"I'm not sure that's such a good idea. What do you think it should be about?"
"Morality," Blomqvist said, "and the story of why one of our colleagues was murdered because the government didn't do its job 15 years ago."
Berger knew exactly what kind of editorial he wanted. She had been at the helm when Svensson was murdered, after all. She suddenly felt in a much better mood.
"Okay," she said. "My last editorial."